time since 1988.
Torum, turn on the jets and hold on, not so fast, Mitt Romney. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Big, big, big wins in Mississippi and Alabama for the former senator from Pennsylvania. So what does this mean now for the Republicans? Will all of the candidates keep on keeping on after Tuesday's vote? Well, we know at least one guy staying in for sure besides Mitt Romney, and that would be Rick Santorum. He really pushed it as, to the limit, I guess, as much as he could in Mississippi and Alabama. And if you wanted to see the actual numbers, I was just actually scooting through a bunch of them with the precincts coming in. It's a definite in Alabama, Rick Santorum, 34, that's minuscule in a sense, 34.55%. Newt Gingrich behind him, 29.30%, and Mitt Romney just over 28%, Ron Paul just under 5%. So Romney not closing the deal in the South. Don't know that that's a complete shocker, although Newt Gingrich might have been somebody that you thought would take one of the two, but he doesn't do that. He doesn't take either one of them officially with those numbers, even though they're close. Santorum does take both. And the battle for second really just continues to rage on. So Santorum is the story. And the other story is Mitt Romney still not being the guy. I think in so many households that don't want to see President Obama repeat, the conversation is, wow, Romney is the guy? This is who we have? This is it? And maybe that's really having an impact in some of these primaries, but it comes back to the numbers. So you add the numbers up, and they really still don't fall in favor. If you look at the delegates, it still doesn't fall in favor of anyone but Mitt Romney. Strictly looking at the numbers, with all of the results and caucuses and all that kind of stuff already in, absolutely, Mitt Romney is still in the lead. Remember, it's 1,144. It's like that number's emblazoned in my head. That's the number you have to reach to get the golden ticket to become the Republican nominee for president. So Mitt Romney, by my count, has 480 total delegates. Rick Santorum, 234. Newt Gingrich, 139. And Ron Paul, 66 delegates. Pledged. So looking at how many are needed and looking at what's left with the primaries or and or caucuses, I guess if we want to put it that way, we've just gone through Alabama and Mississippi. You have Missouri coming up, and you know their caucuses. On March 18th, you've got the Puerto Rico primary, which is interesting. Remember Hillary Clinton going down and hanging out with the Puerto Ricans and hoisting a few beers, in fact, when she was running back in 2008. And after that, you go to Illinois and so on down the line, Louisiana, Arizona, you get out of March, and that's where it stands. But we're not going to have a definite nominee for the Republicans. I think that's pretty clear, even though Mitt Romney is the guy, officially, and looking at strictly clearing the board, you're not going to see that until maybe July. Now, we've talked the last couple of days to a couple of people who are strategists, who have been strategists in the past for the Republicans, and they're saying the same thing. And really, the target is to wrap it up, you hope, by June, but it's not looking great that it's going to be June. And not till everything is done and the dust has settled, I think, at this point. All right, coming up here on This Hour of America Tonight, of course, we'll talk more about the Republicans and and Rick Santorum's big win. But also, we're going to look at this new poll that came out. We talked about this heavily, especially when I was back east. So this is a national story. New Yorkers and how they feel about the police and their surveillance of Muslims. This is a huge story because people are enraged in New Jersey. Even Chris Christie, the governor, has had some things to say, while Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, is backing up what the PD is doing there, what the police department is doing as far as keeping tabs on would-be terror suspects. So this poll is kind of interesting. We'll jump to that. And also a couple of other odds and ends that take your breath away. You think of your kids, putting them on the school bus. Are you really ever letting your head go to the point of thinking, oh, what if there's an accident? You know, school bus safety, and there's a terrible accident in Missouri that left at least 12 people injured so far at this point. So anyway, we want you to hear Rick Santorum and the excitement from him after those two big wins in the South.
Everybody's talking about all the, you know, all the math and all the things that this race is inevitable. Well, for someone who thinks this race is inevitable, he spent a whole lot of money against me for being inevitable. We did it again. Sort of like America, going out there and exceeding expectations, going out there defying the odds, because we believe in something that's bigger than ourselves. To the people of Alabama, you made a great difference, and I thank you very, very much for your support. I knew when I was traveling around, on whether it was all the way up in Tupelo or all the way down to Gulfport, and the folks that I met and the passion in their heart, they understood how important this race is for themselves and their families and for the future of our country. We hope to do even better in the caucuses this weekend. And, of course, next week we'll come back here and we expect a huge win here in Cajun Country. We will compete everywhere. We will compete everywhere. The time is now for conservatives to pull together. The time is now to make sure that we have the best chance to win this election. And the best chance to win this election is to nominate a conservative to go up against Barack Obama, who can take him on every issue.
All right, so Santorum will not quit. Mitt Romney is saying Santorum is absolutely desperate, and this is the desperate end of the campaign. That's what he's saying. It's coming to the complete grind here as he continues to roll on. So what happens to Santorum after this? Santorum gets close, but then he misses. You know, it's not like horseshoes. You're not getting any points. Once you're out, you're out. You're selling books. So ultimately, the power of the name, there is something to that. So what does Santorum do with it after he falls off in the Republican race? And so the direct quote from Romney is, Senator Santorum is at the end of the desperate end of his campaign and trying in some way to boost his prospects. Frankly, misrepresenting the truth is not a good way of doing that. Romney went on to explain in a couple of different interviews I saw that the math just doesn't add up. So we keep coming back to that, the math. But how much confidence does that give you in Mitt Romney with the delegate count the way that it stands now? 800-259-5791. Light them up. I know you're awake. Grab that cup of Joe. We got a long way to go here on America Today. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Will I have garlic breath after I take Ali-C?
We get that question all the time about the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. And the answer is, Ali-C contains stabilized allicin, nature's antimicrobial agent, and the active ingredient in crushed garlic, but will not give you garlic breath. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies, using low doses of allicin greatly reduces the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Our powerful Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin. Just one tablet of Ali-C is equivalent to 40 garlic cloves. It's effective against asthma, MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections, and helps lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. Plus, it's a natural mosquito repellent. Boost resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 877-888-7126 or garlichealthproducts.com. Fight back with Ali-C.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open-pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
Moment for Rick Santorum in Alabama and Mississippi as we cracked open here at the top. And Santorum says he's in this to win it and to continue, and he keeps talking about the math. But the math doesn't add up, and it'd be very tough to topple Romney unless he completely cleared the board. But it does bring up that burning, nagging question about have you accepted Mitt Romney? If you're absolutely 100% dead set against the current administration, is Romney the guy that you're really going to vote for? I mean, no matter what, come hell or high water, as they say. Even if he's not your guy, you like Newt Gingrich, you liked Herman Cain, he dropped out. You liked Rick Perry, the governor of Texas, he dropped out. So your potential people dumped out of the race and left you with a couple standing. Ron Paul, popular with a ton of people that call America Tonight, and lots of other shows. I get probably 50-plus emails a week touting the virtues of Ron Paul, but yet he has no momentum, none, zero, zilch, when it comes to getting the nomination, because nobody in the establishment is even looking at Ron Paul. Nobody wants him. Nobody's doing anything with Ron Paul. He could be a thorn in the Republican side, however, without a doubt. Earlier in the day, Mitt Romney was pushing the outrage of the last month, and that's gas prices. And he took a slam at Obama in the meantime.
He said because Republican candidates are talking about being tough on Iran for pursuing nuclear weapons, that's caused gas prices to go up. Now you try and connect those dots. Recognize your own mistakes and admit them. And if you do that, we can finally start drilling for oil, drilling for gas, using nuclear, using coal, and get America energy secure like I will get it.
All right. Yeah, anyone who can solve completely the riddle of the gas prices, you win. What, we're going to $1.50 for the rest of your life? Oh, yeah. It's a great radio station promotion, isn't it, if you get somebody to back that up. I think the entire time that I've been in radio, and in fact, even when I got out of school, somewhere, someplace where I lived, if gas prices started to go up, and oh, boy, did we bellyache when it was 187. There would be gas giveaway days where you went to so-and-so place and you could get gas for free or get it for a buck or whatever it was. Now, you'd have people really lined up for miles if you did that. If you're talking about paying $5, $6 and we're squeezing that out every night here on the air, people are calling in with their painful stories. Like I said a couple of weeks ago, do you remember the cheapest you ever paid for gas? I mean, we keep talking about these high water marks. How about the cheapest that you ever paid? I mean, that now it's like down to one of these kind of things, you know, when you, do you feel guilty? You're going on a hunting trip with your buddies. You know, you're taking a trip for spring break with your families and somebody's driving and you're piling in. Do you immediately say, let me split the gas? Or does somebody just put their hand out? Okay, everybody pony up. Forget buying the donuts. I want the money. So pony up for that gasoline. I bet that's happening more because of how much it costs, especially when they're talking about SUVs. So gas has become the topic du jour really for the past month. What's interesting about the Republican run, and because the Democrats aren't doing that, it's Obama. It's nobody's challenging Obama naturally. So the focus is on what's happening with the Republicans. That's why the debates were so fascinating, because of the things that would break, the stories that would happen, and how it would play out politically with people who wanted to become a president, which is still happening with the Republicans, and it makes it interesting to hear Newt Gingrich completely run on $2.50 for gasoline. I'll get you that. And that didn't work so far, because that's what he did with the ads. Half-hour campaign ads, almost mini infomercials about how the riddle of the gas crisis could be solved, but it didn't pay off in Alabama or Mississippi, even though Newt Gingrich did in Alabama. As I said, he came in second with almost 30%, Rick Santorum winning it. So he's showing up, but showing up doesn't matter. It is completely about the math. They can say what they want about math and fuzzy math and, oh, the numbers and the delegates, but that's how you get elected in this country, Republican or Democrat, the primaries, the caucuses, and they're all funky, too. Every place is different, how many delegates, winner takes all, whatever it is. But the main thrust of any campaign is to get on the stage, be the headlining act, if you will, to get the nomination. Not to go into a brokered situation or a shaky situation where who knows who's going to come out on the other end. I think if Rick Santorum does keep nipping at the heels of Mitt Romney, to me it might mean you really do see that brokered convention, even though everybody's downplaying that. I don't know. I'd have to think if I'm the Republican establishment and I'm in the secret handshake club, I'm questioning not so much Romney. I'm questioning what's going on with Santorum and ultimately how much push would be needed in a run against a guy who's the incumbent, which is the president. Because overwhelmingly, people aren't going gaga. He's not a rock star. Mitt Romney's not a rock star at all for most people. And people that are, especially anyone in the younger generation, people want rock stars. That's why reality television is so huge because everybody wants a piece of the fame pie, which is mind-boggling to me. But listen, that's the thing. How do you transcend? That's why Obama did so well. The way he spoke, the hope and change, the going on the college campuses, the email blast, the Twitter, all that stuff. Really reaching out. And the Republicans with Mitt Romney, do they have the ability to do that? Do they have the ability to make that happen, to make it exciting? On a quick side note here, because I don't want it to be all about, oh, Santorum and what's happening and with the South and whatever. As I said, we're going to mix in a few other things. I happened to see this and it knocked me over for a second because I immediately, have you ever had these moments where you're transported back into childhood? Poof, just like that. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, plus me. I was in there with them. The Encyclopedia Britannica is not going to publish any longer. No print editions. For the first time since they were first published, you know when they were first published? Check it out, 200 years ago. I mean, I didn't know it was 200 years old. I knew it was old. You have to go back to 1768 in Edinburgh, Scotland. That's the first time that it was printed. So they're not going to be available when the stock runs out. That's it. They're going to offer digital versions of the encyclopedia. The end of the printed 32-volume set, they knew was coming for a long time. And they say, you know, really, it's a digital era. We're selling digital products to lots of people. And it's just not, it's fallen off so much that there's no reason to do the printing anymore. So the final hardcover encyclopedia set, if you want to get it as a gift for someone in your family, $1,395. Whoa. Whoa. And they first went digital back in 1989. They did that CD-ROM version. And then they went online in 1994. And since it's been just pretty much negative, it doesn't make any sense. That's it for the books. Oh, there's just something about that. I can so remember looking at the encyclopedias. How many times did my mother yell at us, look it up in the encyclopedia. Look it up in the encyclopedia. I'm sure we've got a set in the attic now at this point somewhere. Online versions, though, so the company's not going anywhere. They say they serve about 100 million people around the world, so they're alive and kicking, but they're just not doing the print thing, not doing it. There's something about having the printed form of books, certain books, and to me, the encyclopedia is one of them, but I guess, you know, you have Wikipedia, and you can get these encyclopedias now online. So why would they dump a bunch of money into printing? Coming up on the flip side, we're going to Hollywood. Stephen Shohat in the wings.
I have bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hvextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hvextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Did you know that gold and silver contain healing properties? It's true. Since the beginning of mankind's history, gold and silver have not only been used as real money, but also for healing our minds and bodies. UtopiaSilver.com is your leading source for colloidal silver and colloidal gold, offering supplement protocols that can heal and enhance your health. Protocols for boosting the immune system, insomnia, yeast infections, herpes, and countering the effects of vaccinations and radiation poisoning. And now UtopiaSilver.com encourages the use of real money with this buy one, get one free real money special. For details on your colloidal silver and colloidal gold supplements, call 888-213-4338 and ask about 50% off for first-time customers. That's 888-213-4338 or visit UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com, fighting for liberty and healing one American at a time.
The familiar theme from The Godfather. Doesn't it just take you back? Oh, yeah. Still ranks up there as one of the all-time best movies. My favorite movie. A lot of people would list that as their favorite movie, too. I liked the first and the second. Didn't like the third so much, but loved the first one. I'll tell you, I think every guy that I know from the job that I worked in New York at the Fan could quote every single line from that movie. I can quote a few, but I wasn't as good as they were. In the wings, each and every week, he joins us. Stephen Shohet, the author of the book Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends, of course, of the movie. So who better to talk to about this? As he pointed out to me when he sent me a note, it's the 40th anniversary of The Godfather. Stephen, did you love The Godfather?
I did. I love The Godfather Part 2 as well, and I really enjoyed the book, too. But the one thing Coppola did, I think, was really smart. The book did have some Jacqueline Suzanne-type moments. It had a lot of Johnny Fontaine, the Frank Sinatra singer character out in Hollywood, a lot of side sexual stuff. And I think what Coppola did was he really focused on the violence and the rise to power rather than the side plots. And I think it takes a lot to adapt a novel when you understand what's going to work cinematically and what's going to work story-wise. And I think he deserved a lot of credit for that, getting the right story across. In fact, the studio wanted him to modernize the story, have it take place in the 70s, maybe have Robert Redford play Michael. And it was Coppola who insisted that it took place in the 40s, even though he had the one unfortunate scene where Michael and arrives in Las Vegas, and it kind of looks like there are a couple of hippies walking across the screen who happen to just sort of get into the film somehow. But other than that, he kept it strongly in the 40s.
Yeah. Paramount Studios, did they know that they had this big hit on their hands?
Well, not right away. I mean, when it came out and people were going to see it in March of 1972, and they're willing to see it in snowstorms and things like that, they had massive distribution on it. See, normally movies at that time just played in one major theater, like say the Chinese Theater in Hollywood or Radio City Music Hall, one major theater in each city, and then it would take weeks for it to trickle into the smaller neighborhood theaters, kind of like a hardcover book that becomes a paperback after a while. And Paramount, thinking, well, we got a 3-hour movie here, in order to make money off it, we're going to have to get a wider distribution. So it was much more accessible than the normal movie. And right after it came out, Paramount announced that it was going to make more money than any movie ever up until that time, which it did, over $80 million. But when they were making it, they really had doubts. And I think the doubts extended to the director, who really didn't have much experience and had a lack of confidence in himself. The doubts extended to the casting, where Paramount Studios did not want Marlon Brando, who hadn't had a hit in about 15 years, and did not want Al Pacino, who didn't look people in the eye when he met him and when they met him at the studio and didn't inspire any confidence. And a general thought, the gangster pictures didn't work. There had been this movie called The Brotherhood back in 1968, which starred Kirk Douglas, a gangster movie that had failed at the box office. So all of these things made for a level of uncertainty right until the picture was released.
Yeah, crazy. And thinking about The Godfather, and thinking about, I was just thinking about this before we went on the air, the great lines, the great Don Corleone and the lines from that movie, like the one where he said, I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse. You hear this all the time. The Don saying that to Johnny Fontaine about Waltz, and, you know, of all the lines that are in the movie, that might be my favorite. But the Don, played by Marlon Brando, that wasn't initially who the studio wanted to go with, correct?
The studio didn't. Coppola did. I mean, Coppola said only two people can play the Don, and that's either Olivier or Brando. And Olivier, suffering from health problems at that time, that really helped Brando. Brando, again, he had such a bad reputation at that point. He was largely blamed for the movie Mutiny on the Bounty. Now, that was a 1960 movie that went way over budget. And it wasn't entirely Brando's fault, just like Cleopatra wasn't entirely Elizabeth Taylor's fault. But obviously they're going to get the press, and if they're late to work and they show some kind of unprofessionalism, it's going to be more noticed than an executive who can't make a decision about what should be in the script. So he was going through a lot of blame, wasn't considered to be very hireable. Coppola had to really fight for him. There was one time Coppola was having a meeting with studio executives, and one of them slammed his fist on the table and said, "Hey, Francis, as long as I'm at this studio, Brando will never play the Don." And Coppola actually got up, fell to the floor, started pawing at the ceiling like he was having an epileptic fit, and these executives gathered around and just staring down at him, and finally the guy who was really opposing him said, "Okay, Francis, you can have him. Just get up, will you?" And there was more convincing that had to be done. The other thing that really helped was Brando really wanted the role and really went and talked to the executives and told them, like Charles Bloodhorn, the head of Paramount Studios at the time, that you might have heard some bad things about me, and yes, some of them are true, but I promise I'll be on my best behavior for this film. And he mostly was, although the one thing he had all the time, and it turned into some funny moments, was he just simply refused to learn his lines. And he had the lines written all over the place, you know, on tables and what the other actors would do. I mean, at first, like Robert Duvall, James Caan, and some of the other actors, they're in awe of the great Brando, but then they realize wait a minute, he's really a character here, not learning his lines. So Brando would be looking at a card, and instead of the line of dialogue he was supposed to say, there'd be some wedding invitation that the other actors had switched with the cue card. So there were all sorts of laughs on the set, not for Coppola, not for Pacino, both of them afraid of being fired, but everybody else was kind of having a good time.
Talking about what happened there and the casting, Al Pacino, I guess the studio wanted Al Pacino, but you mentioned something to me about he almost got fired. Is that true?
Yeah, well, actually, they didn't want him. Again, that was Coppola, who'd seen him in a movie called The Panic in Needle Park. But yeah, he almost did get fired because he seemed so unconvincing. He didn't have the strength to do it. But what changed it was when he actually had the scene where he, I hate to give the movie away, but where he kills two people. That really impressed them. I think one thing that was impressive too, and Coppola got into an argument about this with his director of photography, Gordon Willis. They had the scene where Al Pacino announces that he's going to kill the other mob leader Salazzo and the bad cop played by Sterling Hayden, and Coppola had to really fight to convince Gordon Willis to pull the camera in to have a close up of Pacino in that scene where the camera pans toward him, which now is a common thing. At a big moment, you'd pull the camera in on somebody, but at that time, it just wasn't done. Another thing that wasn't done was the darkness of the movie, keeping the Godfather in very unlit rooms. People weren't used to seeing that, and that got a lot of negative notes from executives when they were making it. And that was one of the reasons why, Coppola wanted to show how powerful and sometimes evil the Godfather was, even though when you think about it, every time they act, they're really killing bad guys throughout the movie. And in fact, one of the things about the book The Godfather was that the characters that the Godfather was dispensing justice on were so much worse. Like Jack Woltz, the guy who ended up with a dead horse in his bed. In the book, he's a child molester. So, he's a way worse character, but still, there was that element of power of the darkness, and people were used to seeing Doris Day movies brightly lit. So that did get Coppola into a bit of trouble when they were seeing the daily rushes. It was a very nervous time for Francis Ford Coppola up until the movie came out and it was well received.
Yeah, no kidding. And now, look, it's like I said, it's on the tip of everyone's tongue. Always mentioned as one of the best all-time movies. Every guy I know loves The Godfather.
Yeah.
Without question. It doesn't matter how old you are, you know The Godfather. Stephen Schohead, Hollywood Stories, short entertaining anecdotes about the stars and legends of the movies. Pick the book up. It's great. Has all kinds of stories like we were just talking about. Thanks, Stephen.
You got it, Kate.
All right, 40 years of The Godfather. Wow, 40 years. This is a good rental. If you have not seen The Godfather, it is worth renting. You'd probably get it for a buck now, who knows, or get it in a bin somewhere because it's been out for so long. But there are just some classic lines in this movie of, I think, all the quotable movies that are out there, things that just stick with you. This had just chock full of them, and a lot of them were from Marlon Brando, a lot of the lines that he delivered. There was one where Don Corleone said something to Johnny Fontaine, and he said, "You can act like a man." He slapped him, and he said, "What's the matter with you? What's the matter with you?" That was a great moment in movie history. Remember, you can always check us out by going to americatonight.net. sending me your thoughts that way through the email or hooking up with us on Twitter or Facebook.
Are you or someone you know suffering from high blood pressure, cholesterol, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural way to overcome these health challenges? Extendivite is made from herbs known to help with these symptoms. Made from garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, and four other herbs, Extendivite goes to work detoxifying heavy metals and killing fungus and virus to enhance your overall health. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We all know that Berkey water purification systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey light systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey light system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey light, the Berkey guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Are you having trouble paying your mortgage? Maybe your mortgage loan is upside down or in foreclosure. Maybe the bank already foreclosed on you. Don't sit around being a victim of bank fraud. Fight back. We have the tools to help you fight back. Here's how. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit. Find the real truth about your loan.
Maybe like me, you'll find your bank loan was paid off already. Maybe, like me, you'll find your bank defrauded you at the closing. And maybe, like me, you will go after them.
Did you know 78% of home loans in the last 10 years violated consumer credit laws? We should not let the banks get away with this fraud. Go to InspectorAudit.com and click on the GCN Radio Special. Order a summary audit today and find the truth about your mortgage loan. That's InspectorAudit.com or call 855-373-4948. That's 1-855-373-4948.
Fly me to the moon. Let me play your music. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, darling, kiss me. Fill my life with sun. Let me sing forevermore. You love all I long for. All I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other words, I
Diana Krall, kind of fitting into our Godfather theme. If there was another Godfather done, she would be the jazz singer in that for sure. She actually, this is a bit of trivia. If we were doing movie trivia and music and movie trivia, I could go all night with this. She did, some of her songs did were heavily featured in a Clint Eastwood movie because he was a big fan of Diana Krall's, and this would be in one of his later flicks. It's the only hints I'm giving you. In fact, if you can come up with it and you call the studio, if you call us at 800 259-5791. I'll give you a copy of Level the Playing Field, which is my book, Balls, Brats, and Other BS. All right, no BS. We are headed to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Oh, yes, we do have mail. Here we go. This one from Tim the Fox. I love it when people have nicknames. So Tim the Fox says, Kate, I don't know. Is it me or what? I mean, come on with this gas nonsense. The president darn well knows that he has a way to ease the burden. It's called lift the moratoriums. It's called let us hit the federal lands. It's called let us get our gasoline because we don't have any alternatives to that at this point that are really viable because we're behind the curve on that. Just ask Brazil. Well, obviously, you know, I talk about it all the time. Brazil does have sugar cane. That's what they use to make ethanol, so it's pretty cheap. They have two ways, ethanol and gas. You have a switch, you flip it, boom, one or the other, and it makes a big difference. So, yes, we are behind when it comes to technology. Not really. We were right there with everybody else, but they just let it wither and die on the vine, they being the oil companies controlling a lot of that technology. And, you know, they killed the electric car. That's all I can say. So it's not readily available. We know that. The bottom line is for gas, I mean, listen, there are all kinds of alternatives. Nuclear energy. But you can't touch nuclear energy. People freak out about nuclear reactors and plants. So in France, they thrive on this stuff. And we could thrive on it, but it's just like a no-go. It's a no-go, a hard sell with a lot of people. Offshore drilling is becoming a hard sell with a lot of people because of what happened in the Gulf, the big spill a couple of years ago. What's left? Federal lands, lift the moratorium. Yes, the reserves. How about that? If we have to tap into the reserves, whatever it is. Trust me, before the election, something will happen to ease the burden. Because the one thing that I think could trip up, and I don't even know if it would for sure, but the one thing that could trip up this president would be crazy, out of control gas prices. That's the one thing. All right, let's move to another one. This one comes to us from the Colonel. I am so upset by what has happened in Afghanistan. Kate, a soldier goes off the reservation, so to speak, because he has a traumatic brain injury, because in a voluntary military, as you like to call it, he is asked to ship out again. Why was he shipped out in the first place? Something is terribly wrong there. Then the death penalty comes up. And Leon Panetta says, yeah, we could seek the death penalty. Give me a break. Are you kidding me? He's a sacrificial lamb. It is sickening and sad and disgusting and tragic what happened. But it is not right to take this soldier's life. Period. End of story. Well, I agree with you. The death penalty shouldn't even be involved in this case. It's horrendous. It is all those words. Tragic, awful for the U.S., awful for the people in those villages. Shouldn't have happened, certainly. But does that make it right to make this a death penalty situation? And the answer is no. And especially the answer is no because of the reason why it's a death penalty case. And the reason is Afghanistan is exploding. People are upset. The president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, can't get enough of saying, no, 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 no. This is wrong. Something has to happen. Americans can't keep doing this. They promise they won't do this. So it's become even a bigger story, exaggerated in so many different ways. What happened was one guy did this. It was despicable. He walked off the base. Nobody stopped him. That's it. Killed 16 people, a lot of them women and children. Imagine if he had been taken out, if somebody had shot him. Then we'd be talking about a whole different thing. But there's no way that he should get the death penalty. All right, this is from Tim listening to us in Vermont. Tim says, hello, America Tonight. I'm really enjoying the show these days. It's been pretty spicy lately. The Texas voter ID law, here we go again, happened in South Carolina. Now the Obama administration blocking this again. Eric Holder coming out and saying, forget about it. that this can't ask for a photo ID because of Hispanic registered voters are more than twice as likely as non-Hispanic voters to lack proper identification. I'd say it's unfair. They need to have a valid ID. I don't know. Do you need to have a valid ID? Here's the thing. How many times are you asked for a photo ID? How many times are you asked when you board a plane? This is one of them. I did that today. I was asked for my ID probably three times. And I'm thinking today, how many times am I asked for this? You know, I bank at Bank of Mexico. I mean Bank of America. And I say Bank of Mexico because every time I go in there, somebody has bags of money. They don't speak English. They drop it on the table. And I don't hear them asking for any identification. But for me, I must look like I am not who I am or something. I am always asked for identification, all kinds of identification. So listen, driver's license, military card, birth certificate, U.S. passport, concealed handgun permit in Texas, that would work. I don't see what the big deal is, but I understand that the idea is you got to get more votes. So if you have to have people who are not in the country legally, let's say, and there's a way for them to vote, okay, cool, let's do that. Let's have them vote. And then maybe that can be added to the rolls. So several states, Texas, Kansas, and Wisconsin, have stricter new voter identification laws anyway, because, you know, they're trying to prevent ballot box fraud. And I do believe that. A judge in Wisconsin this week issued an injunction against the state's law there. So there's definite pullback on this whole photo ID thing and the requirements for voting and how would that affect the electoral participation of people, older people, poor people, transient, that kind of stuff. How much would that sway the vote in a different direction? And in the case of Texas, I don't get the big deal there. And maybe it's because I'm asked for my ID all the time. Constantly, constantly, constantly. So why isn't everybody else asked for their ID? There's already existing laws on the books about this. So come on, I agree. All right, here's one last one. This comes to us from Sal, who says, Santorum, sweeping the South. I couldn't write this email to you fast enough. Kate, any chance Mitt Romney doesn't win this thing? Sal, no chance. Romney has bagged it, although he has not won over the hearts, the minds, or I think anything when it comes to the excitement, the natural inclination to want to go out and vote for this guy. I think that there's a lot of people who have an unnatural or natural aversion to Mitt Romney. He appears almost a little bit too plastic, like Al Gore, although the politics are different, right?
Worse! How could they get any worse? Take a look around you, Alan! We're at the threshold of hell!